All right, I will say good morning. Good morning. Let's get started over here. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Dalet, 124. And we are picking up on 123b. A lot to do. Amar Rava, we are picking up, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines off from the bottom. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning's shiur, our week of learning sponsors, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating all the shiurim this week in memory of Steve's mother, Devora Bas Yisrael, and with Akar Satov to the entire Kehila for the outpouring of support for their family during their time of need. Aaron and Alana Weinberg, with gratitude to Hashem for Yonatan Shai Weinberg's complete refuah 9 years ago, Dr. Gabriel and Florence Gorel for dedicating all the shiurim this week in commemoration of the yard site of Esther Schwimmer, Esther Bas Avi Ezri Zelig, the Gayson family for dedicating the shiurim this week in memory of Dr. Alan Gayson, Elio Ben Menachem Mendel HaKohen, in commemoration of his first yard site. We thank our DAF sponsors today. We thank Ira Miriam Grossman, beautiful dedication of Mazel Tov to Yosef and Shani Bizwadi on the birth of their daughter, and Baruch Hashem to myself and to Aviva and to Shoshana Bizwadi on the birth of our first grandchild. Baruch Hashem, thank you. And thank you to Moshe and Devorah Wertesheim for dedicating this shiur this morning in memory of Moshe's father, Mordechai ben Moshe. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas will have an aliyah, the families a nechama, and the merits of Hashem shall all be zochet to see our children and grandchildren grow in the ways of Derech Yaakov Saba Kadisha. And I will say with that, let us begin. So remember again, we are still in the incredible world of Muktzah. Incredible world of Muktzah. So we began yesterday, actually, interestingly enough, with a discussion regarding the evolution of the concept of Muktzah. So let's continue on that theme a little bit. So we're picking up 123b. I'm sorry, a lot to do today. Amar Rava, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, about 11, 12 lines up from the bottom. Amar Rava, Hitiru Darvish Malakto Leheter, Bilin Sarah Kufo, Bilin Sarah Makoma. So we'll say, Rava is like this. Here's the way the halacha worked. Initially, they permitted a Darvish Malakto Leheter. So again, we're going to define our terms once, and then Emir Tzashem is going to carry us through the rest of the shir. A kli, Shemalachto Leheter, is a utensil that has a totally permitted purpose on Shabbos. A fork. A fork is a perfect example, right? A fork, there's nothing prohibited about a fork, right? The primary function of a fork is absolutely permitted on Shabbos. Versus a kli Shemalachto Leiser, which is a utensil whose primary purpose is prohibited on Shabbos. Paradigmatic example of that would be a hammer. A hammer has a usage which is primarily prohibited, i.e. building on Shabbos. But yet a hammer could also be used in a permissible way. How could it be used in a permissible way? To crack open nuts. We'll see three other terms. Tzorech gufo, which means using a kli shemalachto le'iser in a permitted fashion. Tzorech mikomo, moving the kli, the utensil, because you need the space that it occupies. And mechamal itzel, moving a utensil because if you leave it out, quote unquote, in the sun, it'll get damaged. So mechamal itzel means moving a utensil for the sake of preventing damage to the item. See, here we go. Amar Rava, hitiru davar shemalach dola heter ben tzarek uvav ben tzarek mekomo. Chazal allowed the movement of a kli shemalach dola heter, whether you need it to use the kli itself or you need the space that it occupies. The chazu ve'tiru mechamal itzel. And then they once again permitted you to move it, even for the sake of saving it from damage. The chazu ve'tiru davar shemalach dola iser l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo in mechamal itzel lo. Then Chazal subsequently went ahead and permitted you to move a kli shemalach dola iser for tzorach gufo l'tzorach makomo, but not mechamal itzel. Va'adayin ba'adam echad in b'shnei b'nei adam lo. But still, you can only move a utensil that can be moved by one person, not the utensil that requires two people. Ad sha'amru, until they said, kol hakelim nitalan b'shabbos afilu b'shnei b'nei adam. Until they came along and said, no, you can really move all utensils, even halacha l'maisa, if it requires two people. Eis ve'abaye, savar eis dekasha, meducha, when it comes to a mortar, im yesh ba shum metaltalin osa, ve'im lav in metaltalin osa. Yeah, the most we learned that the mortar halacha lemaisa, if it has garlic in it, you can move it. If it doesn't have garlic in it, you can't move it. So we'll say, so again, that's it. So the mortar, remember again, is a kli shemelachto le'iser. A utensil's primary purpose is prohibited on Shabbos, and yet it seems like you can't move it under any circumstances. To which the word says, no, hacha ma'askina, what is that talking about? Mechama letzel. That's ultimately talking about moving it for the sake of preventing damage. Esvei, raise the kasha, v'shavim shim katzal labazr shas l'taltalo. So we'll say they agree in the case of, right in the case of the pestle, that if you go ahead and once you've cut meat on it, you can't move it anymore. Hachanai mechama letzel. So that's talking about a case of moving the object, the klishim l'achdol le'eser, to prevent monetary damage. I'm Rabbi Chanina. B'mei Nechemia ben Chachal Yonishnes Mishnazur. Bosei, this is actually interesting. Rabbi Chanina, by the way, when did the laws of Mukta come about? Because Bosei, obviously, Mukta is Dirabanan. When did the laws of Mukta come about? They came about in the days of the prophet Nechemia. Why? What happened during Nechemia's time? D'chsev, Bayom Mahema Ra'isi B'Yehuda Darachim Gitos B'Shabbos Omevim Ha'aremos. Because Nechemia writes, I saw in Yehuda that there was massive public chil Shabbos. People were desecrating Shabbos. They were going ahead and working in the presses and bringing in piles of wheat, which is really quite amazing. We'll say, this is, and again, I just want to point out, these are days where there's a Navi, right? The Navi Nechemiah is here, yet, unfortunately, there was massive chil Shabbos. So therefore, again, Nechemiah felt compelled, or the rabbi felt compelled to introduce the halachos of Mukta. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kanin umaklos glustra umaducha, kulan kolden hataros kelim nishnu. The halachos concerning maklos, we'll say maklos will see our staffs. I'm sorry, kanin are tubes, maklos are staffs, glustra is a knob. Again, we'll discuss exactly what that means. And meducha is a press. Ultimately, I think all of them were mentioned or were taught, those halachos were taught before utensils were permitted. What does this mean? Here we go, Bosei. So the Gemara says, Kanin, what's the case of tubes? Disnan, lo sidur hakanin velonitilasan doches haShabbos. So Bosei, this is actually very interesting. The tubes over here are part of the shulchan. We know that in the days of Mishnah was a shulchan, there was a table. On the table was arranged lechem apanim, the showbread. Then I will say, in order that the loaves not sit on top of each other, they inserted these small hollow tubes in between the loaves, right in between the upper layer, bottom layer, so that the bread should not rest on each other. They did that for a couple of reasons. One, the bread was warm. They didn't want any type of spoilage to occur. So they want, this is really what it is. They want a spoilage to occur. So how the halacha is, you cannot go ahead and insert or take out those tubes on Shabbos. The tubes are mukta. Maklos, what's the case of staffs? This line, very interesting. Maklos, dakin chalokin hayusham, umanicho al ksefo v'al kesef chavero, v'tola umafshit. What's this fascinating? Karban Pesach. You would shat the Karban Pesach by the Pesach, and then what would happen? You'd have to flay the animal. How would you flay the animal? This is incredible. I'd get another person from my chabura, right? Let's say Reuven and Shimon are having their Karban Pesach together. What would they do? They would have staffs. They would have like staffs in the Beis HaMikdash. So mostly they would take two staffs, or one staff for that matter, right? Put one side of the staff on the shoulder of Reuven, the other side of the staff on the shoulder of Shimon, and they would hang the animal in between them, and that's how they would flay the animal, holding the animal essentially from a staff suspended from their shoulders. So but yet the Gemara says that what? The Gemara says, but if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, maniach yodo top of kuf chav dalet, maniach yodo al kesef chavero, v'yad chaver al ksefo, v'tola umafshit. I will say, but if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, they would not use the staffs. Instead, what would they do? Reuven would put his hand on Shimon's shoulder, Shimon would put his hand on Reuven's shoulder, and what would happen? They would suspend the animal in between them like that. It's actually quite a beautiful metaphor, which you could accomplish, right? True geula is only when you put your hand on my shoulder and I put my hand on your shoulder. Then halacha lemaisa, we could accomplish an incredible number of things. So the Gemara says as follows. So therefore, again, you see that the staffs were mukta on Shabbos. Glustra, what's the case of the glustra? Disnan. Nagar shiyesh biroshu glustra. We'll say if you have a bolt that has a knob on the front of it. are on the top of it. Yeshua Omer, Shomta min Pesach zu, v'tola bechaver. You could take it from one door and put it, also this, again, this would be a door bolt. You could move it from one door to another door on Shabbos. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Hariu kechol akelim umetaltel bechatzer. It's like any other utensil, halacha lamaisa, and you could own, and you could carry it inside of a chatzer. Meducha, what's the case of the meducha? Hada amar. Nabal said, that's what we mentioned before, that halacha lamaisa, about once you've cut the meat on the meducha, you can't go ahead and move it anymore. Amarabba, Mimai. So what's the head? You know, these statements were mentioned after or before, excuse me, Kalim were permitted. Mimai, Dilmali Olam, Imulachali Acharatar as Kalim Nishnu. Maybe the reason, maybe these halachos, Shabbos say, what the Gemara is assuming is like this. What appears based on the Mishnah, or based on the Gemara, that the halachos of Muktzah kind of went through an evolution. At first, everything was prohibited, which makes sense, because again, if you understand the Gemara said in the times of Nehemiah, there was rampant Chil Shabbos, so then essentially what there was is a dramatic reaction to that. Everything becomes Muktzah. Then the Lashon of the Gemara was Hitiru, V'chazru v'hitiru, V'chazru v'hitiru. Chazal then kept on going ahead and permitting more and more and more things till you get to our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says pretty much nothing is mukta except for a large saw and ultimately the blade of a plow. So there is that incredible evolution that's taking place. The Gemara is therefore suggesting that halacha lemaisa, these statements regarding the staffs, right, the maklos, the tubes, the staffs, and the mortar, excuse me, the knob and the mortar, they were all mentioned when we say that they're asr on Shabbos. That was all stated before Chazal permitted utensils on Shabbos, or the use of all utensils on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? Maybe these items remain muktzah even after Chazal relaxed the laws of muktzah. Why is that? Kanim taimamai. But say, why is it that ultimately, again, for example, even after Chazal relaxed the laws of muktzah, they still would not allow you to use the tubes for the lechem aponim? Mishum ifushe b'hai porto lo me'afish. Because at the end of the day, the little bit of spoilage that occurs by not putting in the tubes in between the loaves. Now, as you're supposed to remember, the loaves are placed on Shabbos. So the little bit of spoilage that may occur by allowing the loaves to sit one on top of the other for the duration of Shabbos, it's not a big deal. Maklas, after Kreb Elazar, I wouldn't have, again, even when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, we won't allow the use of the staffs. Why? Because Kreb Elazar said there's another way. We could suspend it from our arm. Glostera kidrabyanai. The case of the knot could be like Rabyanai, Dam Rabyanai, Bichatashina Mu'urevas Askina. Rabyanai is a term of the chot that doesn't have an Eruv. Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Tocha Pesach Kilif Nimdami. Rabbi Yeshua Savar is a different issue. He holds that within the doorway is considered to be like inside the house. The Kamatatal Mana Debatim Bichatu. And therefore you end up carrying something from the home into the chotzer. Rabbi Tarfon Savar, Socha Pesach Kilachutz Dami. Rabbi Tarfon holds that the outer doorway, ultimately, where the outside of the doorway is considered to be the chatzer. Umana de chatzer bechatzer kamatatl. And halacha lemaisa, you're carrying a mana, a utensil of the chatzer inside the chatzer. Meducha. And what's the case of meducha? Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi, remember again, could be the case of meducha, Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Nechemiah is the opinion that says a kli can only be carried ultimately again for its intended purpose on Shabbos. So I will say, so again, so here's what we come out of this with. What we know is that halacha lemaisa, the laws of muktzah went through the evolution, as we discussed, from exceptionally strict and limited to much more permissive. The shaila is going to be how permissive. So let's see the next. Before I tell you the halacha lemaisa, let's take a look at the next mishnah. Kol hakelim nitan l'tzar shelo tzarach. We'll say all utensils can go ahead and be carried on Shabbos, both for their intended purpose as well as not for their intended purpose. We'll see what that means also. I should say they can be carried for a purpose and not for a purpose. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Eini Talan Elatar. So we'll say this is the famous position of Rabbi Nechemiah that we've quoted already a million times, but here's actually the Mishnah where it's quoted. Rabbi Nechemiah says, the halacha of Muktzah says that you cannot move a utensil on Shabbos unless you are going to use it for its primary designated purpose. So just to illustrate this, Rabbi Nechemiah would say like this, if I'm learning a sefer, and I need a bookmark, but I don't have a bookmark, so there's a knife in the kitchen, I'm going to take a knife from the kitchen, put it in my sefer, Rabbi Nechemiah would say, you can't do that. You can't do that because a knife, well, let's assume for a moment that's what he means. A utensil can only be moved for its intended purpose on Shabbos. So let's analyze. What does it mean to be moved for its purpose and not for its purpose? So Rabbi says, what it means is like this. It's referring to a klisha malachto leheter, which is a utensil that has a permitted purpose on Shabbos. So the tzorech, it can be moved for tzorech, means gufo, because you want to use the utensil itself. Shalo litzorech, what does shalo litzorech mean? What does that refer to? Davar shemalachto lehetro litzorech mikomo. So we'll say, according to Rabbo, Mishnah's teaching me that if you have a kli shemalachto leheter, that can be moved litzorech gufo or mikomo. Whether you want to use the utensil itself or you need the space that it occupies. Va'asrab nechemi lemeimar, nechemi comes along and says, no. Afilu davar shemalachto leheter litzorech gufo in, litzorech mikomo lo. And Rabbi Nechemiah comes along and says, you can move a kli shemalachto leheter, but only to use it in a permitted fashion. You cannot move it because you want to use the space that it occupies. Amalei Rava. Rava says, that doesn't make sense. Letzorech mikomo, shelo letzorech karisle. Rabbi say, if you need the space that a utensil occupies, is that called movement not for the purpose of the utensil? Rava says like this. Letzorech, what does it mean, letzorech, for its purpose? That's davar shemalachto leheter bein letzorech gufo, bein letzorech mikomo, shelo letzorech afilu mechama letzel. Rather, Rabbi says, Rabbi says, this is very important, Rabbi says, what is Mishnah coming to teach me? That when it comes to a kli shemalachto leheter, which is a utensil that has a totally permitted use on Shabbos, you can move it, letzorech gufo, because you want to use it, letzorech mikomo, because you need the space that it occupies, and mechama letzel. You move it because you don't want it to get damaged or destroyed. However, the davar shemalachto leiser, but if you have a kli shemalachto leiser, which is a utensil, whose primary usage is prohibited on Shabbos, letzorech gufo ulitzorech mekomo in, you can move it, you can move that utensil if you want to use it in a permitted fashion, or if you need the space that it occupies. However, mechama letzel lo. But you cannot move it, a kli shemalachto leiser, if you want to save it from damage. Va'asher Rabbi Nechemi lemeimar, Rabbi Nechemi comes along and says, afilu davar shemalachto leheter, letzorech gufo, ulitzorech mekomo in, mechama letzel. Rabbi Nechemi comes along and says, no, even a kli shemalachto leheter, you can move it, letzorech gufo, because you want to use it, you can move it, letzorech mekomo, because you need its space, but you cannot go ahead and move it for the sake of saving it from damage. Yosef, Rav Safa, Rav Achaba, Rav Huna, Bar Chanina, the Yosef, the Ka'amri. So they sat along, they were sitting, and they were saying the following. So mostly we have a fundamental machlokes, Rabba and Rabba. So says the Gemara, V'Kamri, L'Rabba Alibid Rabbi Nechemiah. So according to Rabba's interpretation, Rabbi Nechemiah, Hani Ka'aros Heichim Metaltalinon. But so when you finish a meal, and there's plates on the table, how do you move the plates off the table? To which the Gemara says, Amar Lehu Rav Safra, Midi Dehavei Graf Shel Rei. No, because even according to Rabba's interpretation, Rabbi Nechemiah, dirty dishes on the table would be like Graf Shel Rei, be like a bedpan. And just like you can move Graf Shel Rei on Shabbos, you can move dirty dishes on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, Amar Lehu Abaye the Rabba, Lemar Alibud Rabbi Nechemiah, Hani Karos Heichim Metaltalinon. So Abaye said to Rabba, but according to your interpretation of Rabbi Nechemiah, how do you move dirty dishes off the table? Amrlei Rav Safra Chavrin Tirgama Midi Dehavi Agav Sharei. Because we'll say, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, see, even according to Rabbi Nechemiah, and again, this is in Rabba's interpretation of Rabbi Nechemiah, that Halacha Lamaisa, you can't move a kli shemalachto leheter letzorech mekomo. How do you go ahead and move dirty dish? According to Rabbi Nechemiah, Graf Shel Rei. Esvei Abaye l'Rava, Sabai is kasha to Rava. Meducha im yesh pashu metaltlin also ve'im lave metaltlin also. If you have a mortar, as it was saying, inside that mortar, ultimately there's garlic, then you can move it, because you can move it because the garlic is permitted, so therefore you can move the mortar. But if there's no garlic there, you can't move the mortar. So we'll say, so that would seem to indicate that a kli shemalachto leiser cannot really be moved under any circumstances. No, what is that talking about? That's not where you want to move the mortar in order to save it from damage. Everyone will agree that you can't do that. Everyone agrees that if you cut meat on top of the mortar, once you went ahead and you cut the meat, you can't move it anymore. It's also talking about a case where you want to move the mortar, which is a klishim alakto le'isr, mechamel etzel. From literally, again, by the way, mechamel etzel means from the sun to the shade, meaning you want to move it in order to avoid damage. I've a hadisnan in somchina sakadira bebikas, v'chein bedeles, but yet we learned elsewhere that you can't go ahead and support the pot on a piece of wood or on a door. I vahabikas to be yomtov davrish malachtul hetter, but why not? What's talking about by yomtiv? But the piece of wood by yomtiv is a klisha malachtul hetter. Why? Because on yomtiv you're permitted to go ahead and kindle a fire. Alma davrish malachtul hetter bein letzorech gufo bein letzorech mekamo aser. What do you see from here? That even a klisha malachtul hetter can't be used for gufo mekamo. Hasam my time. What's the reason there? Kevin the bishabis davrish malachtul leisrhu. Gezerah Yomtiv Atu Shabbos, to which the Gemara says, you're right, really it should be Mutter. But a lot of times we aser things on Yomtiv in order to safeguard Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara says, we're not going to let you use the piece of wood to support the pot on Yomtiv, even though on Yomtiv the piece of wood is not Muktzah, lest you come to go ahead and use the piece of wood on Shabbos when the wood would be Muktzah. One second. V'chi Teima Shabbos Gufei Tishteri. So, one second. But even by Shabbos, you should be able to move the piece of wood. If you need the piece of wood, it's a gufo umakomo. And again, using the piece of wood to support the pot would be a fantastic example of a permitted use for a piece of wood on Shabbos, and therefore should be permitted. To which the Gemara says, the dispensation to use a kli shemalachto le'isser, L'tzorech gufo umakomo on Shabbos, is only when the item in question has the identity of a kli. This piece of wood does not have the identity of a kli, and therefore again does not have the dispensations of tzorech gufo umakomo. Migas yunan. Let's go back for a second. Are we going to say, do we prohibit things on yomtiv, lest you come to perform them on Shabbos? Vatnan, we learned, mashilin peres derech aruba biyomtiv. You can go ahead and literally lower down fruit through the skylight. And I'm supposed to just give you the case over here. They had flat roofs in the times of the Gemara, and those roofs were often used to spread out, well, they were used for laundry and other things, but also to spread out fruit. I want a dry fruit. You would spread it out on your rooftop. Well, let's say I have fruit drying out on my rooftop, and now it's Yomtiv, and I see that halacha lemaisa, it's going to rain. So what can I do? I could push the fruit. Now, both say, now technically speaking, fruit which were set out, spread out to dry, really become muktzah, right? Why? Because the drying out process takes a little while. So when you spread that out on your roof, essentially what you're saying is, I'm not using this fruit. So in this case over here, what I can do on Yom Tov is, I could push it through the skylight, and it falls to the ground of my house, thereby saving it from being ruined by the rainfall. The reason I'm allowed to do this is because there's really very little effort expended in just pushing it through the skylight, right? It's not like I'm gathering it up, taking it downstairs. I'm just pushing it through the skylight and it falls through the roof. And ultimately, again, that is permitted. So the Gemara says, Mashil peres derech aruba biyomtiv, aval lo b'shabbos. So I say, here you see something that's permitted on Yomtiv and not permitted on Shabbos. But one second, you just learned before that we will aser things on Yomtiv lest you come to do it on Shabbos. Yet we see over here, the practice is permitted on Yomtiv, even though it's aser on Shabbos. Do you think that in general we're not goes of hatnan in bin Yomtiv l'Shabbos ala ochel nefesh bilvad? Yet in general we learn that Yomtiv is the same as Shabbos in almost all respects, except for ochel nefesh. Right? On Yomtiv you're allowed to prepare food. Amar Rabbi Yosef lo kasha, har Rabbi Eliezer, har Rabbi Yoshua. Two different opinions. Desanyo, one is Rabbi Eliezer, one is Rabbi Yoshua. Desanyo, osovias beno. Suppose they take a look at Rashi just a moment. Lo kasha, disnan mashilin deshari tircha biyantav mishum ibud mamun Rabbi Yoshua hi. Suppose we're going to see the opinion who allows you to push the fruit through the skylight on Yomtiv is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua, because he's going to allow additional exertion on Yom Tov in order to save yourself from financial loss. Take a look at the Gemara. We actually had this. Tisanya, Osovias Veloshanaf Alabar, was said, let's say you have a mother and its child, animals, two cows, mother and child that fall into a pit. I will say, remember again, you want to get them out of the pit. The problem is, you're really only allowed to get the animal out of the pit if what? If you want to eat it on Yom Tov. You want to shecht it on Yom Tov. The problem is, you can't shecht both of them. Why? Because you're not allowed to shecht the mother and child on the same day. So how do I deal with this? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Malas Harishon Amanas Shokto Bishokto Vasheni Oselo Parnosa Bimkomo Bishoshal Yomos. Rabbi Loza says, you could pull out one animal with the intention to shecht it, then you could shecht that animal, and just you have to sustain the other animal in the pit until the end of Yom Tov. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Malas Harishon Amanas Shokto Veino Shokto Umarim Umalas Hasheni Ratsa Zeh Shochet Ratsa Zeh Shochet. And Rabbi Yeshua says, what can you do? You could pull out the first animal with the intention to shecht it, and then after you get it out, what do you say? Nah, I don't want this one. You change your mind. And then you pull out the second one, because I say, no, I want to eat the second one. You pull it out, and I will say, once you have both animals out, you can decide which animal you want to shecht and consume. So we'll say, so you see that Rabbi Yoshua allows the use of harama, a little bit of a little bit of creating a fictional narrative in order to save yourself from financial loss on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, so therefore we would assume that Rabbi Yoshua is the same opinion who says that when it begins to rain, you could push the drying fruit through the skylight in order to save yourself from some loss. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. Rabbi Eliezer only says you can't take both animals out of the pit, because once you get one animal out, the other one could be sustained in the pit. In other words, you could avoid loss by sustaining the other animal in the pit. In the case of the fruit on the rooftop, maybe even Rabbi Eliezer will agree that if the rain is going to destroy it and ruin it, you can push it through the skylight, to which the Gemara says, furthermore, even Rabbi Yoshua, maybe Rabbi Yoshua only allowed you in the case of the cows, because you could do harama, we'll say, right? You could create a little bit of like your own narrative in this. I was going to eat this one, then I was going to eat that one. But where there's no ability for harama, where there's no ability for a little bit of a contrived narrative, maybe Rabbi Eliezer would not, maybe Rabbi Yoshua would not allow you. So for example, maybe Rabbi Yoshua would hold that in the case of the skylight and the fruit, you can't push the skylight, you can't push the fruit to the skylight. Papa, Lokashio, Habe Shamay Habe Silo. Two different opinions. We'll say one is Bishamay, one is Basilo. This one, here we go. Bishamay Omrim, Amad Bezo, we'll say Bishamay Omrim, Emotzi, and that's a cotton, Besalula, Besifrosharabin. So Bishamay in general holds, I will say, Anyamtiv, you're really only allowed to carry, to do Hotzah for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. Right? That the dispensation to carry Anyamtiv is really only things related to food items. However, you can't carry a child, you can't carry a lulav, you can't carry a sefer Torah into Rosh Hashanah. And Beis Hillel matirin, and Beis Hillel says it is permitted. So Rabbi says, I just want to point out over here, this happens to be subject of a different machlokes on the concept of mitoch. Beis Hillel holds that once carrying is permitted for the sake of ochel nefesh, it becomes permitted for even non-ochel nefesh purposes as well. It has to be a yomtiv need, but even for non-ochel nefesh purposes, you can carry the item on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Emer deshamis le Beis Shammai hotzah. So when does Beis Shammai ultimately allow for something? That's with carrying. I should say transferring an item from one Rosh Hashanah to another. Tiltul mishamis lu. But how do you know that he's referring? How do you know that he would be permissive with movement as well? To which the Gemara says, one second, but tiltul gufei lab mishum hotzahi. Remember again, the whole concept of tiltul is only usher because it leads to hotzah. The af rav savar la laha derava, even rav holds like what Rava said before, da'am rav, mar shelo yiganev. One could go ahead and literally move away or hide away a hoe in order that it should not be stolen. Right, it's a present, it's a shovel. Oh, so you could put it away so it won't be stolen on Yom Tov. Zeu tiltul shelo letzorech. This is an example of movement, not for the sake of the item, but aser. And ultimately it is aser. Taima shelo yiganev. So we'll say, what is that an example of? That's movement of muktzah mechama letzel. That would be an example of movement of muktzah, literally again from the sun to the shade, in order to save it from theft. And you see that it's aser. So the Gemara says, taima shelo yiganev. But it appears, so we'll say, you see from here, that for a klisha malachto le'isser, so ultimately, again, you cannot move it nechama le'tzel, but you can infer from it that you can move it le'tzorach gufo or le'tzorach makomo. Ini is that so, v'ha Rav Kana ikla le'be Rav. So yet Rav Kana went to the house of Rav, v'amar, and Rav said, Aisu le'shusa le'kahana le'sev ale, go bring yeshusa. Shusa was actually in the tzuda, a trap. Go bring a trap for Kahana to sit on. I'm about to say, now, if you can imagine for a moment, like the trap is like a box. So what Rav was saying was, bring a trap, right? And Rav Kahana is going to use it as a seat to sit on. So the Gemara says, first white line, Lav lememra de davar shem olach tol isla tzorach gufo in, l'tzorach mekom olo. So I could infer from that. Now remember, a trap is a klishim olach tol isser, because trapping is one of the lametes malachos. So I could infer from that, then what? That a davashal, a klisha malachto le'isser, can be moved, litzorech gufo, but not litzorech mikomo. To which the Gemara says, no. Hachi amrlo, this is what it means. Shakulo shusa mikame kahana. No. What Rav actually said was, move that trap so that kahana, Rav Kahana, could sit where the trap is situated. So ultimately, again, Rav was giving instructions to move the trap, litzorech mikomo, because he needed the space which the trap was sitting on. The other possibility is Hasa Mechama Letzel Hava. Ultimately, again, that was a case where they wanted to move the trap in order to save it from damage. And Rav was saying, you can't save it, you can't move it to save it from damage, but we can move it if we need the space that it occupies. Rav Mori Barocho, Hava Lehahu Be Sadiusa. B'shimsha. So Rav says into this, Rav Mori Barachal had, Rav says, Sadiusa means pillows made of felt. Felt pillows that were sitting in the sun. And if they would remain in the sun, they would be damaged. So what did he do? Asla kamei derava. So he comes before Rava, Amalei ma'ala taltalinhu. Can I move them? So Rav saying, this is a case of pillows. Now remember again, what's a pillow? A pillow is a klisha malach tula heter, totally permitted on Shabbos. So Rav Mori is coming along and asking, But can I move the pillow mechama letzel? Can I move the pillow out of the sun in order to save it from damage on Shabbos? Amar le shari. To which ultimately again, to which Rava says it's permitted. Isli achrina. Rav Mori said, you know, I do have other pillows. So it's not like I need these pillows. So I do have other pillows. Is it still permitted? So the Gemara says chazal arich. And Rava said yes, because what if guests show up? If guests show up again, so you have pillows for your guests. Isli nami the archons, which Rav Mori said, you know, I do have extra pillows even for guests. I have enough for guests. So we'll say at this point, Rav said, listen, Arle, galus adaitech dikiraba svir lecha. So Rav said, it's apparent to me that ultimately, again, you hold like Rabba. L'kulei ama shari l'didach asya. So we'll say, so Rava essentially said to Ramar, listen, I'm giving you a psak halacha. If you're going ahead and you keep on arguing with me, obviously you hold like someone else. So fine, so here's what I'm going to tell you. Everyone else in the world would be permitted to go ahead and bring in their pillows from the sun, except you. Except you. You can't. Right? You can't. And I will say now, he wasn't being angry with her. What he was saying to Rav Mori is, obviously you're hesitant to do this because you hold like a different halachic opinion, which is fine. So subscribe to the opinion which you hold like, and therefore for you, you will not even move a klishim olach to lehetzer afilu nechama letzel. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chibar Ashi, Amar Rav, Machbados shel milsa, mutla tatan b'shav. So literally, this means cloth brooms. Cloth brooms, which means, well, if you can imagine, it's a broom that on the, what do you mean, like the bristles are made of cloth. Now, we'll say, this was not made for sweeping floors. Rashi points out this was made for sweeping tables. So such a broom is not muktza on Shabbos. Mutl tatlan b'Shabbos. Aval shal tamra, but if you have a broom made of palm branches, which Rabbo says what a regular broom was made of, lo, we'll say that is muktza. Remember again, a regular broom, we saw this before, is made for sweeping floors. Sweeping floors in the times of the Gemara is asr on Shabbos. Why? Because floors were made of dirt. The act of sweeping levels out the floor, and leveling out a dirt floor on Shabbos is a problem of bonus, a problem of building. So halacha lemaisa again, Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi is saying the cloth brooms to clean off the table, totally fine. The palm brooms which are used for sweeping floors, aser. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Afshal Tamra. Rabbi Eliezer says even the palm brooms are going to be permitted. To which the Gemara says, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Afshal Tamra Mayaskinon, Ilem Letzorach Gufo Letzorach Mekomo, if you want to say that you can use the palm broom in a permitted fashion, or because you need the space that it occupies, Baha Lima Rav Shal Tamra Lo, would Rav disagree with that? Vah Rav Kirav Asirale, Ela Mechama Letzel. But ultimately what it means is to save the broom from damage. Baha Lima Rabbi Eliezer, Baha Lima Rabbi Elazar, Afshal Tamra. Regarding this, Rabbi Elazar said, even a palm broom, to which the Gemara says, you're right, the Ola Mechama Latzel, in reality, we're dealing with moving the palm broom, ultimately, again, from the shade to, or from the sun to the shade, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar. Supposed to look at Rashi just a moment, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shal Mil Samutar, V'shal Tamra Asa Mechama Latzel. But I will say, same idea, that Halacha Lamaisa, when it comes to Chama Latzel, so as much as the palm broom can be moved, Letzorach Gufo, Letzorach Mekomo, it cannot be moved Mechama Letzel, right? It cannot go ahead and be moved in order to save it from damage. So let me just give you kind of like the brief synopsis on Hilchos Motzot. We're not finished yet, but just to frame this sugya. So remember again, the Gemara essentially introduces us to two distinct categories. Kli Shemalachto Le'Isser, Kli Shemalachto Le'Heter. Let's reverse that. Kli Shemalachto Le'Heter, Kli Shemalachto Le'Isser. So we'll say Kli Shemalachto Le'Heter is a utensil that has a totally permitted use on Shabbos. Totally permitted use. What's the halacha by Kli Shemalachto Le'Heter? So the way we pass the halacha L'Maisa, you can move it, Letzorach Gufo, to use the utensil. You can move it, Letzorach Mekomo, because you need the space that it occupies. And you can move it, Mechama Letzel. You can move it, literally, again, from the sun to the shade. So we'll say, so essentially, so in order to save the item from damage or from loss. So halacha lemaisa, kli shemalachto leheter, could essentially be moved under all circumstances. What about a kli shemalachto leiser, which is a utensil, whose primary use is prohibited on Shabbos, but also has secondary permitted uses? The hammer, right? The hammer's primary use is aser building, secondary use as a nutcracker, totally fine. What's the halacha? So we'll say, kli shemalachto leiser, you can move it, letzorach gufo, to use it in a permitted fashion. You can move it, letzorach mekomo, if you need the space that it occupies. You cannot move it, mechama letzel. You cannot move it on Shabbos to save it from loss. So, for example, if you left your hammer out and it's raining, and because it's raining, the hammer is going to rust, you cannot go ahead and move the hammer for the sake of saving it from damage on Shabbos. You can move the hammer if you need it, right, in a permitted fashion. If it's sitting on your table and you need that space, you can move the hammer out of the way, but you cannot move it mechama letzel. Good. That's the basic halachic framework. Says the Mishnah. We're not finished yet. Kol hakelim I tell him Shabbos, Shirvein I tell him anymore. What's the interesting halacha? Any utensil that can be moved on Shabbos, if the utensil breaks, its shards or its pieces can be moved as well on Shabbos. Ubilvad she osin me'ein malacha. As long as the shards are usable for malacha, we'll define the parameters of that as well. Shivri areva, for example, if you have a mixing bowl and the mixing bowl broke, lechas ospanes piachavas. As long as the shard is large enough to cover a barrel, right, to cover a receptacle, then the shard won't be mukta. Shivri zchugas, if you have a glass utensil and the glass utensil broke, lechas ospanes piapach. Again, as long as the shard, a glass shard, can be used to cover up a receptacle. Who do Omer? Shabbos says, so interestingly enough, the Tanakama holds that if a utensil goes ahead and breaks, the pieces will not be mukta, the pieces will still be permitted, provided that the pieces are usable for something. As long as the pieces are usable for something, then halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and use it on Shabbos. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda, Bilvad shi osim in melachton. Shabbos Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's not just not that the shards are usable. The shard has to be usable in the same capacity as it was when it was part of a hold utensil, for example. So the Gemara says, shivere, if you have a mixing bowl that broke. So latzuk l'socha mikveh. The shard has to be large enough that you could pour porridge into it. In other words, the same way that a mixing bowl is a receptacle for an item, so the shard has to be large enough to receive an item into it as well. V'shal zchuchis, and similarly again, if you have a glass jug and it breaks, the glass shard has to be large enough, lasuk lesochan shemen, large enough to pour oil into it. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Tana Kama about if you have a utensil and the utensil breaks, are the shards muktzah? The Tana Kama says, as long as the shards are large enough to be used for something, even if the something does not resemble their original usage, the shard is not muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda is saying no. In order for the shard to not be muktzah, it has to be usable in the same capacity that it was when the utensil was whole. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Machlokes Shen Shubbe Emer of Shabbos. The Machlokes comes up when the utensil broke on Erev Shabbos. The Mar Savra Me'ein Malacha in Me'ein Malacha Cheres Lo. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that the shard has to be usable in the same capacity it was when the utensil was whole. And the Tana Kama says, no, as long as it's usable in some way, it's permitted. The Gemara says, Umar Sarah Afilu Me'ein Malacha Cheres Aval Nishperu B'Shabbos. But if the utensil broke on Shabbos, Divrei HaKol Mutarin. Everyone agrees that the shards will be permitted. Hoyel umuchanin agabe avihin. I will say, if the utensil breaks on Shabbos, everyone will agree that as long as the shard is usable in some way, that halacha lemaisa, the shard will not be muktzah. No, Mosi Reb Zutray says, one second. We learn masikim mekelim, masikim shivrei kelim. The Braisa says that on Yom Tov, Rabbi will say you could fuel the fire with utensils, right? You could use utensils as fuel, but you cannot use broken utensils as fuel. To which the Gemara says, "Denishbaru emas." In this situation, when did the utensils break? Ilema denishbaru me'erev Yom Tov. If we want to say they broke on erev Yom Tov, eitzim ba'amaninu. We'll say if the utensil broke on erev Yom Tov, then by definition it's firewood. It's nothing. Elalav bi Yom Tov. Rather, it must see that the utensil broke on Yom Tov itself. Vikatani masikin bikelim, ve masikin b'shivrei kelim. And yet we learn that what? That halacha lemaaseh, you could go ahead and use full utensils, but you can't use shards of utensils. So I will say, halacha lemaaseh, it appears from here that if a utensil breaks on Shabbos, or a Yom Tov for that matter, it becomes totally muktzah. Rather, here's how the machlokes is. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Shmuel. Machlokes shenishperu b'Shabbos. The machlokes between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda is when the kli broke on Shabbos. What's the machlokes? The mar savar muchanu. The Tana Kama will say the utensil is prepared for use. And once it's prepared for use at the onset of Shabbos, it remains prepared for use, even if what? Even if the utensil breaks on Shabbos itself. Umar savar no latu. The other opinion, i.e., Rabbi Yehuda, will hold that a broken utensil is no lat. It's something new that has occurred over here, and therefore it will be muktzah. Aval me'erev Shabbos, but everyone agrees that if the utensil breaks on erev Shabbos, divrei hakol mutarin. Everyone will agree that the utensil is mutar. Why? Hoil v'huchnu l'malacha mi'ba'od yom. Since halacha l'maisa, it was prepared for its malacha ultimately again while it was still day. Tani chada. So we'll say, so let's analyze this a bit more. So tani chada, masikim bekelim, and masikim shivrei kelim. So we have one brisa that says that you can go ahead and kindle a fire on Yom Tov with utensils, but not with broken utensils. V'tanya idach. Another opinion says, k'shem shemasigim mekelim, kach masigim shivrei kelim. Another opinion says that the same way that you could kindle a fire with utensils, you could also kindle with broken utensils. The Tanya Idach, a third Braisa says, Ein masikin lo bekelim v'lo b'shivrei kelim. And another opinion says you can't use full utensils nor can you use broken utensils. What's going on? Which the Gemara says it's not a machlokes. Harabi Huda, Harabi Shimon, Harabi Nechemi. I will say three different opinions. Look at Rashi, almost right across. Harabi Huda, masikin bekelim, masikin b'shivrei kelim. So listen to this. So first opinion that says that you can go ahead and use full utensils but not broken utensils is Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a broken utensil is nolad, something new which has been created, and therefore you cannot use it on Yom Tov. The second opinion that says that you could go ahead and kindle a fire both with whole utensils and broken utensils, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon in general holds, Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no issue of nolad, and therefore the same way that essentially the broken utensils are considered to be an extension of the whole utensils, and therefore everything is permitted for use on Shabbos. And the last opinion that says that you can't even use whole utensils to kindle a fire on Shabbos, that's Rabbi Nechemya. What does Rabbi Nechemya say? That's Rabbi Nechemya from the Mishnah, that you cannot go ahead and move a utensil on Shabbos or on Yom Tov for that matter, except for its intended purpose. So halacha lemaaseh, any usage of it for its not intended purpose is going to be us. So we'll say, therefore, three different opinions: Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Nechemiah. We'll say we'll stop over here for today. L'miratz Hashem, pick up with the next sugya of Rav Nachman and Miratz Hashem tomorrow. We'll say Yashik Veach. Again, we'll be streaming the minyan from the shul, from the shul parking lot at 7 o'clock. A great schuss with all of you. Another beautiful daf. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.